Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Now that Michigan's business tax is history, Lansing lawmakers are considering taking out yet another tax they say is a burden on businesses, the personal property tax. And while the business community supports the effort, the tax provides significant revenue for communities across the state, and the Michigan Municipal League says there better be a plan to replace that money. Joining me now is the group's Associate Executive Director, Tom Mangini. Welcome to the program, Tom.
It's Tony.
Tony, yep, sorry about that. Now, Tony, the Republican legislature certainly isn't wasting its time. The MBT just removed, and now the personal property tax appears to be next. How much of a catastrophe would it be to Michigan cities if this tax were to simply be removed?
Well, I mean, it would be devastating. The cities over the last 10 years have seen significant declines, and even this year they bore a big part of the burden of the business tax cut that already happened. We're sympathetic to the idea of this, of replacing personal property, but there has to be replacement revenue. This funds critical services that we all rely on.
Now, when you talk about replacing it, obviously that would mean taxing somebody else in some other form. What are some of the ideas the league has for replacing this particular tax?
You know, we've actually sort of stayed neutral on that. The administration has been fairly innovative in going after some of this stuff, and we're not really locked into a particular replacement. We just want to make sure that as they, revamp the tax system, which is needed. I mean, this is an old and antiquated system, that they understand the impacts this is having on us. So, whether they did that with the, income tax or some other tax or, sales tax on services, there's a lot of ideas floating around. Something's got to be done to replace the revenue.
I see. Well, although what we saw with the MBT removal is we saw things like pensions now being taxed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that a concern that ultimately they could now shift the tax onto more of the Michigan residents?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. But that's, again, why we're sort of just standing at, that's a decision the administration really has to make. Our issue is that revenue be replaced, and we've really tried to stay out of the discussion about which substitute might be best for those very reasons. I mean, as soon as you start talking about the replacement, you start talking about, the winners and losers aspect of it. And what we're really concerned about right now is really the impact this is going to have on vital services, police, fire, and all the things that folks count on a daily basis. The services folks really rely on that make your hometown a great place, mm-hmm, are provided at the local level.
Well, Tony, let's imagine a situation where the legislature repeals the personal property tax without finding a replacement revenue. What would we see happening in municipalities in Michigan?
Well, I think you'd see a much worsening of some of the stuff you're already seeing, because let me put it this way. There are some communities where you have big industrial complexes. So, Lansing, Flint, pick some of those areas that have big industrial tax bases. They would take a huge hit. River Rouge, which is a community just outside Detroit, 57% of their taxable value comes from personal property tax. There's no way to absorb those kinds of losses, and it's sort of an interesting paradigm. Those communities that host those facilities, that provide the jobs, that provide that economic, engine, if you will, this is sort of how they raise their revenue by doing that. And so to tell them that they're not going to be kept whole, really, it just flies in the face of trying to sort of, resurrect Michigan and reinvent ourselves and make sure we've got those great places people want to live in. This would fly in the face of all that.
Well, considering that municipalities are struggling more than ever, I mean, Lansing, even today we discussed the fact that the city is facing this projected up to $15 million deficit. With the MBT just removed, is this really the time for lawmakers to start potentially considering manipulating or removing the personal property tax?
Well, I mean, so the argument for it would be, of course, that some people would suggest it's a disincentive to invest. And there's probably some legitimacy to that. Having said that, you can't tinker with it. If you're going to do it, you've got to make a balanced decision that really weighs both sides of this and provides that replacement stuff. And that's the concern, is that no one moves somewhere because they got low taxes. I mean, they're looking at you know, am I going to have the things I want to do? And this really concerns us that this would happen without any replacement.
I'm talking to Tony Mangini. He's the Associate Executive Director at the Michigan Municipal League. Now, Tony, Michigan is one of 43 states that levies some form of personal property tax. Mm-hmm. Do we know how these seven states that don't have the tax manage to provide sufficient funding for their municipalities, or don't they?
Well, I mean, the tax systems around the country are so diverse that that'd be a difficult question to answer. You know, some places don't put a high reliance on property tax. They put more reliance on sales tax or income taxes. Or if you live in Wyoming, you don't pay because they have oil. I mean, there's so many different models out there with how government funds itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'd be really difficult, I think, to sort of, you know, draw a line and say, well, this is how they do it, because they might have a completely different system.
I want to ask you about the Emergency Financial Manager Law. It's meant to save communities and school districts from bankruptcy, but public workers say it's unconstitutional. What's the Municipal League's position? Does it make sense to give managers extended powers to do anything and everything necessary to avoid a financial disaster?
Well, I don't know about the anything and everything part. I think there's a lot of steps that are in this law, and I should also point out that every state has some version of an emergency manager law. There has to be a way to deal with communities that are in fiscal distress, and we had a law before this one was adopted. This one does give greater powers, but if you read the law, it provides the greater powers, those powers that everyone's really concerned about, sort of on the back end, and it actually provides for some earlier intervention and the opportunity for less invasive correction earlier in the process. So in that regard, you know, I think there's more opportunities for communities to control their own destiny and maybe hopefully make those corrections that they need to earlier in the process.
The league then ultimately supports this updated law that gives managers more power?
Well, we never really took a position on it one way or the other because, again, it's something that's needed. I mean, I think, you know, that at the end of the day, what came out of it is workable. And if you look at, you know, historically, even in difficult times, we've had very few communities find themselves in this, you know, sort of emergency state. Some of those expanded powers, when you're dealing with some of these things, and if you look at historically how bad some of these communities were under the old law before they got in, it was really problematic. In City of Ecorse, for example, when they went in there, and I think these numbers are right or pretty close to it, they have about a $10 million annual budget. When the emergency manager went in, they were already $14 million in deficit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be a numbers person to realize that doesn't make sense. So there needed to be a way to get in there a little quicker. And that's, I think, really was the main goal of the EFM law.
Should public workers be ready now to really accept some big cuts in pay and benefits?
You know, I think we're all in this together, and I think a lot of the unions have stepped up and are doing some of those things. And you know, it's to no one's benefit to for the city to be broke, not for the residents, not for the employees or whatever. And the cities have actually been pretty aggressive all along in trying to, you know, make those concessions that needed to be made, whether those are different ways of delivering services, you know, the cooperation, consolidation stuff going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
in Michigan. That's nothing new to the cities. And so I think you're seeing more and more of that kind of stuff. You know, and so, you know, should the employees be planning on, you know, big cuts or whatever? I think they all recognize the difficulties that we're up against. And I think for the most part, everyone's at the table right now.
And finally, we've seen cuts to the revenue sharing program, declining property values all across Michigan, and it really doesn't look like things are set to turn around anytime soon. How grim is the situation for most of the state's municipalities?
It's tough. I mean, it's tough out there. You know, the good news of it is I think the places are well managed. You know, contrary, you always read about on the negative end, but you know, on the positive side, most places are run by people that really care and are working hard to make their places great. So you know, I think they're gonna find ways to weather the storm. But folks should expect to see you're seeing it now. You're seeing decreases in services. You know, maybe parks that used to be cut, they don't cut them, and you know, maybe it takes longer for police to show up because there's been cops laid off. I mean, all of those things manifest themselves. You know, dollars equal services. You know, is there efficiencies to be gained? You could say that about any city or any business in the world. There's always probably something more folks could do. But at the end of the day, you know, you can only provide the services you can fund. And so for right now, for a while here, I think it's going to be tough for everybody.
Tony Mangini, Associate Executive Director at the Michigan Municipal League. Thank you for joining me, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up.